Greetings from Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, and you're listening to our midweek worship. Our sermon is from our guest speaker, Brother Orville Stanley, and it's entitled, God's Blueprint for Christian Growth. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
Good evening, folks. You'll turn your Bibles over to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll take a couple of minutes to get there, but we will get there. I missed the evening that Pastor laid out the vision for this next year and what the theme was going to be. But God was here, so I got the message, even though I didn't know it. And so I'm kind of excited about the message now. I was a little unsure about it, but first of all, this evening, I want to take just a moment, and my wife and I would like to thank the church, family, and our friends for your prayers, your kind words, your cards, and foods over the last 3 or 4 months. She's back in services now, and hopefully we'll be here much more often. But we do appreciate so much your kindness during these past few months. Now, for several days, I've been praying for the Lord's leadership concerning this message. And in my mind, there's nothing worse, I think, than standing to preach and having nothing to preach. So I was earnestly praying, and you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit of God just uses various things to grasp your attention, to sharpen your focus, and so during these last few weeks, I'm paying attention to everything. If a car passes me, I'm looking at the license plate. Is this it, Lord? You know, you just never know. So I keep asking myself, you know, what would the Lord have me speak on? And is God, you know, I see these different things and I ask, is God revealing my topic? And while thinking and looking, I could not escape the fact that I'm speaking on January 1st, 2020. That's crazy. You know, 3.5 months, I'll be 70 years old. That's insane. And think about this. 365 days from now, it'll be January 1st, 2021. And 2020 will be behind you. But right now, it's in front of you. At this very point in time, every person in this auditorium tonight has a future. And each of us will make decisions this year that will affect us not only this year, but in future years as well. All of us will be given advice, some of it good, some not so good. Pauline Esther Perot Phillips. Everybody in this room knows her. She is a household name. She was born in 1918. She's been published in over 1,400 newspapers. She had 110 million daily readers. You know her as Abigail Van Buren or Dear Abby. And for many, many years, she offered advice to common questions and common sense situations. I'm going to talk to you tonight about advice and decisions. I read recently in a Reader's Digest, they asked for people to submit the worst advice they had ever gotten. One wrote, "When I joined the fire department, I was encouraged to start smoking. They said it would help me breathe better in a smoke-filled room." Another wrote in and stated, "If you see a bear and you don't have time to run, hug him." And still another replied, "My dad told me when I learned to drive, always weave a little on the road. Other drivers will stay away from you." But my favorite was a couple who wanted to dry peppers and save them for winter. So they asked their Amish friend what they should do. And the Amish friend told them, "Use a microwave." So they used the microwave and ruined the peppers. And she wrote, "This is the last time I'll ask an Amish friend." Let me get this right. "Who suggests I do something with electricity?" This next year and moving forward, you and I will be given all sorts of advice, and how you use that advice is really up to you. But when the Word of God gives us advice concerning the future, we ought to listen and we ought to apply that advice to our lives. Since each of us this very moment is looking forward because we each have a future, I hope you are not living day to day. And I hope that tonight as I look around and as we get into this message a little deeper, I hope you have a plan moving forward for both your physical life and your spiritual life. I may be a bit presumptive here, but if you made a resolution this year, would you slip your hand up? Everybody makes a resolution. But when you make a resolution, do you make a plan to go with it? Or you just leave the resolution hanging out there on its own? Each thing you want to accomplish in this next year and in the future requires a plan and it requires time. A plan and time. Each of you, if you want to accomplish something, you have to set a goal. And I hope that you've all set goals for something different this next year. Pay off your home, pay off your car, be a better friend, be a better neighbor, give more, give to missions, love more, read the Bible more, pray more. I hope you have a plan, not only with your physical life for this next year, but also your spiritual life as well. with the subject, I want you to understand that things are accomplished one step at a time. One step at a time. Some have said it's three forward, two backward. But we consistently move forward. When we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now we're going to go a little further than that, but I'm stopping there for right now. The Apostle Peter was known throughout Scripture to be both wise and impetuous. And he's writing here to the churches of Asia Minor. It is a follow-up to his first epistle, which begins with these words: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. This verse shows us that Peter's audience was not just one church. It was all the churches, and because the intent of Peter's epistles was to all the churches, his epistles became known as Catholic epistles, not according to the church, but according to universal or for all people. Hence, it is important to you and I because we can say with assuredness that we are a church of like-mindedness with the early churches, and therefore this epistle is written to you and to me. Now, 1 Peter was written to churches who had come under persecution. 2 Peter is written to people who are being inundated with false truths. Now, men and women today fill the airways with partial truths and outright lies concerning the gospel, to the point that many people are confused. In Peter's day, people were great listeners, and the information sown by heretics was in fact impacting their entire religion. So Peter writes to those who are in the faith, those who are saved. Tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, forgive me, but I'm not talking to you. Now, I hope you gather something from it. I hope the Spirit of God addresses you and convicts you, but I'm not really talking to you. I'm talking to those who are saved and in the faith. And I have this question for you that are saved. It's a very serious question, and it's a question that I'm going to base the rest of the preaching on. Here it is. In 2020, do you plan on being a better Christian than you are right now. Think about that. In 2020, over the next 364 days, do you have a plan in place to be a better Christian? I hope it gets you to think. I hope the Spirit of God is touching your heart right now and saying, we've never talked about this. I hope your mind is saying, yes, I do have a plan, but I fear that most are saying, I don't have a plan. So, I'm going to give you some advice tonight. There are a lot of Christian self-help books on the market, but because so many agencies are rewriting the Word of God and God's plan of Christian growth is being diluted to the point where believers have begun a feel-good society and our churches have become feel-good churches. And if we feel good, then we feel spiritual. And if we don't feel good, then somehow God doesn't love us. Matter of fact, in an ironic way, I found myself in that same situation a couple of weeks ago. Pastor's here. He and I were talking. I play fantasy sports. And on a given week, I had several of my top performers on my fantasy team get hurt. I was depressed because of my fantasy sports team. And I told Pastor, God loves you and hates me. And he laughed. And I laughed. But there was a small part of me that didn't want to laugh. In our feel-good society, we forget that God has a plan for our lives. And part of that plan is that we experience hardship, and we experience joys, and we experience tragedies. It's part of God's plan for our life. God works his plan. Let me repeat this. God works his plan. If he spared not his son, why do you think he's going to spare us? We think in this feel-good age, in this instant age, that we shouldn't have to endure heartache and we shouldn't have to endure difficulty. That simply is not true, my friends. I mentioned this the last time I taught. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. God's plan individually for each of us is that we be like Christ. Within the process, we will have to learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier. This means We're going to have to learn some things. Can I say this? The hard way? And we live in a society today that nothing is supposed to be hard. It's all supposed to be easy. It isn't. So Peter, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, writes to these believers, not the lost, but the believers, and reminds them that the process to bring forth little Christ to maturity is a step-by-step process that requires time. You and I are on the precipice of tomorrow. The future awaits each of us. But today, we must decide if we truly want to be like Christ. Or maybe we just want to act like we want to be like Christ. If you want to be more like Christ, there's a path that will move you forward, but it will require work, patience, and time. It will not happen overnight. It won't happen this next year, and there's a strong possibility you'll still be working on it when you die or when you are raptured. Let's take a couple of minutes and look at the path or the blueprint, if you will. If you are saved, then you possess faith, which is the foundation of all spiritual growth. Faith is the foundation of all spiritual growth. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you are saved tonight, understand that God said in Romans, to each man is given a measure of faith. You either use that faith to place your trust and confidence in Jesus Christ and get saved, or you don't. There's no purgatory. There's no time that you're going to spend in levels of hell that one day you're going to go through all those processes and you're going to end up in heaven. It is not like that. Either your faith leads you to Christ and you accept what Christ has done on the cross, or you are lost. There's nothing in between. In verse 5, Peter addresses these believers with these words. And besides this, the fact that you're given a divine nature, the fact that you're promised incredible promises, precious promises in God's word. Besides these things, here's what Peter said. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Well, what do I do after I've gotten saved? Now, Brother Randy, you're in here, so I'm not preaching against the Academy of Faith. But it's not more knowledge. That's not the first thing you add. The first thing you add when you come to Christ is moral discipline. I call it moral excellence. In other words, how you act, how you respond. Do you continue to cheat? Do you continue to steal? Do you continue to lie? Do you continue to do the moral things that you know you should not do? If you got saved, the first thing you need to do is act like a believer. You need to put away some things from your life. You need to develop some moral strengths. You need to add some biblical discipline to your life. I can remember a few months after I got saved, our church had a group like King's Character here. I can't remember what it was called now, but I got invited to go to one of the meetings on a Saturday. Actually, I'm ahead of myself. I'll come back to that illustration. So once we develop and once we set out on the path to develop moral excellence, and it's going to take time. It's going to take, you know, people don't want to quit cussing right away. You know, there's just certain things when you get saved, it takes a little while to break away from. That's why you need to be in the house of God to be encouraged to continue to do these things. So you add to your virtue. The next thing, we have faith. Now we're starting to develop moral excellence. So what do I do now? Well, Peter answers the question. Look again in verse 5. And to virtue, moral excellence, now you add knowledge. All of us have known people who have skipped the virtue and gone straight to knowledge. There's nothing gentle about them. Because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up unless you have some moral discipline to go with it. But now that we're starting to get our feet set and we're learning some moral discipline and we're trying to discipline our lives to be Christians, the next thing we need, according to Peter, which is according to the Word of God, which is according to the Holy Spirit, we add knowledge. Now I'll come back to my illustration. We had like a King's Character, and after I got saved, I started getting involved in it. And so I ended up going to a Saturday where they had these leaders and helpers and that together, and a guy preached. I don't know what his name was. I don't know what text he preached out of. Have no idea. But I do remember he said this. He said, if you are serious about growing in knowledge, then start today. Read your Bible today. Memorize your first scripture today. This is about 3:30, 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. But you know what? I left there, I went home, I opened my Bible, and I read it. And I wrote a verse down on a 3x5 card, and I did my best to memorize it that day. Can I suggest something tonight? If you're not reading your Bible, don't wait till in the morning. Do it tonight. Amen. If you're not memorizing, find a short verse, a simple verse, write it on a 3x5 card, and start memorizing it tonight. And then do it again tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. Find your Sunday school class, get in it. Come to church on Sunday morning. Come to church on Sunday night. Come to church on Wednesday night. Come to church when there's a revival. Why? Add to your virtue knowledge. As you discipline your life to consider morals a vital part, as you grow in knowledge, you'll find that you get more out of everything. You'll find that you'll pray more. You'll read more. You'll enjoy the Christian life more. You say, why? Because you've started down a life of discipline. How many have ever played sports? Do you like summer training for football? Do you like running those 10-yard sprints up and down the football field and all the way back and do it again and do it again until, pardon my language, you're puking? You don't like it. But you do like the fact that when you get in the game for real, you're not tired. You're not wore out. You know why? Because you've developed a discipline for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter is laying out the disciplinary road for the believer. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Thirdly, look at verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance. Don't you hate that word? I hate it still. Self-control. This is why I say this isn't an instant thing. It's going to happen over your entire life. You're going to have control of your self-control, and then one day something will happen and you think, well, I need to start all over again. But you do it. You start all over again. Self-control. We have faith, we have moral excellence, we have knowledge, and these are the foundations that must be laid if we are to grow. These must become habits and must be like breathing. But this next set of priorities, beginning with self-control, temperance, it'll be a lifelong process for some of us. We'll move 3 steps ahead one day and 2 steps back the next. I said at the beginning, you have a plan and you have time. But you keep moving forward. No matter how many setbacks, you just keep doing it. This is where societal norms work against us. We live in an instant society that we don't want to consider taking years to master a principle of God's Word. I told our Sunday school class, it was either this past week or the week before, that when I got out of my apprenticeship program at Naval Air Rework Facility, North Island, California, the first shop they put me in, where I was going to stay, they put me with a fellow who was getting ready to retire. He had started his apprenticeship when he was 9 or 10 years old in Switzerland, and he was indentured to a master tinker. He knew more about metal than anybody I ever met in my life. He was ready to retire over 52 years as a metal worker. Can you imagine how many times he failed over 52 years? How many times he made something wrong? What happened? You just go back and you start at the point where you messed up and you move forward. We need self-control. Peter lists these steps in order of importance. You cannot build a house from the outside in. You cannot build an engine from the outside in. And we cannot change our lives from the outside in. The inside has to be changed, and it is a slow process that God says we are being conformed to the image of Christ. I used to put a sign on the side of my toolbox. It said, if we don't have time to do it right the first time, when we will have time to do it right the second time. Don't rush God. Set your goals. Self-control. Allow God to work in you. In my mind, I've always been a very impatient person. And the Bible says, add to your knowledge temperance and to temperance patience. I've shared this illustration many times because it's funny and because it's right on target. Years ago, I began praying and asking God for patience. I am not a patient person. God, in his infinite wisdom and humor, decided that one way I would learn patience is that if I never got a green light the rest of my life. I drove a military bus to pick up sailors in the morning and in the evening on Sunday. And honestly, they got a kick out of it. There was like 20 lights between our church and the military base. We hit them all going. We hit them all coming. We hit them all going. We hit them all coming. You say, how long? Over a year. My pastor said, that'll teach you to pray. But here's what I'm saying. God will do in our lives whatever. We have to be patient with God. Because God's going to work his plan whether you're patient or not. And you can either beat your head against a door or a wall, or you can go along for the ride and appreciate what God is doing in your life. Peter goes on to say, and we're running out of time here, I hope you'll take, and I honestly believe these would be good verses for you to memorize. Because Peter lays out a plan on how to be godly. It's not a quick plan. It's not an overnight plan. It's a lifetime plan. I do want to close with these verses, though, because I didn't realize what this was going to be, and then I walked in tonight. So I need to push this out there. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Making God's vision your vision. If you lack these things, then see what God sees. See what the completed person is to be like. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, we shall never fail. Or does that say fall? Bad glasses. Never fall. So my challenge to you this evening is, first, make a plan to be a better Christian this year. Don't try. I know this sounds wrong, but I don't mean it how it's going to sound. Don't try to be a perfect Christian. Just be a better Christian. Let the process that God has placed you in be completed. You do your part, you discipline your life, you move forward, and you allow God to do his part. And I trust you'll find out that you will enjoy the journey, even if there's hardship and tragedy along the way. You'll know that God is with you. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have the opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. If you desire further information about the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at cbcponca.org.